Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Band back together here on Bad Signal Podcast. Steve is fresh with a glistening tan. Where did you go last week? He was in the Maldives. He went to Sri Lanka. When in any world of sports are you allowed to take like a rich person vacation in the middle of the NFL season? Is that your bye week or like?
Well, that was my bye week. That was it. That was it. I don't even want to talk about getting there. Like, just it was a nightmare, but it was great. It was worth it. But I'm back now, so.
VSiN's own Josh Applebaum. Josh, how are you doing? How is Boston? I just got back from Boston. I took a nice little quickie 48-hour trip. I think I brought like the 55-degree weather. I'm pretty proud of myself for that. But how's Boston living? Have you gotten down to the new DraftKings Sportsbook in Connecticut? Because I know the VSiN guys were there last weekend. There was a lot going on, I know. I heard Kendrick Perkins was there. There was some mistake from Mish Moss and Polly Howard. They were like, he got greedy. He took the Celtics money line. He should have taken Celtics +4. He would have got it. Those guys are hysterical. I love it.
No, they really are. And Courtney, it's great to see you again. If people don't know, me and Courtney go way back. I mean, we were back to like the Alston Brighton days, like in 2010. I mean, really like first moving out to Boston. So it's great. It's kind of weird how careers and people, you know, people you forget, or no offense, I didn't forget you, Courtney, but you know, somehow our careers, intersect again. So it's pretty cool. And yeah, you brought the good weather and just grinding. I haven't been in the Maldives, but I've been grinding pretty hard with sports betting, working from home in Boston. So it's great to be on the pod. Thanks for having me.
Do you have any update? I'm going to have you place a nice little legislative hat on your head. What is the update that you know for sports betting legalization in Massachusetts? There is that gorgeous Wynn Casino, the Encore, that's over there in Everett. And I think people are dying to have a sports book open. Finally, it seems like Connecticut just opened. Why has Massachusetts been behind the eight ball on this one?
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people ask me, you know, I'm dialed in. I'm from Mass, and, you know, I work for VSiN, which is based in Vegas. And anytime, like, anything on the East Coast happens, they're like, oh, well, what about Massachusetts? So I think this is the answer you always hear, Courtney. It's really close, but for whatever reason, they just can't come to an agreement. They're arguing about whether they should allow betting on college sports, betting on BC, or, betting on the Bean Pot or something like that. Yeah. So they're still arguing over things that are so obviously – like, you know, again, like the states that try to not allow college betting, or I get it in Jersey, like you can't bet on Rutgers, but if it makes no sense. Like, again, you know, if you have to drive to a different state, all this money is leaving Massachusetts. I have friends who just go over the border to New Hampshire, or pretty soon New York is going to have mobile betting as well. That's going to be massive. So I don't know the answer. I think it's probably next year. But again, it's like the will is there, the money is there, but for whatever reason, the politicians on both sides can't come to an agreement. So hopefully it's next year. And I just can't wait, Courtney. Hopefully we get a DraftKings sportsbook at Fenway Park, at the Garden, at Gillette. It's close, but I'm honestly getting sick of seeing other states except mine legalized. But hopefully it's close here.
I think it's kismet. I'm just on a flight. It's a nice Yiddish word for like meant to be. I was on a flight just back from Boston right now. We're recording this Thursday night. However, on my flight, in my row, there's a girl, and I have a little wandering eye sometimes, and she worked for DraftKings. She's worked in the IT department for DraftKings for 7 years. And I made her, as I got off the plane, I was like, what a great company to work for, the things that they are expanding. And I truly believe that the future of television and broadcasting is really within the sports books. They are going to be the ones with the unlimited bank accounts, and they're going to be the ones that are going to be driving all of the traffic and really driving all the sports entertainment. And Josh, what a fabulous job that you do. I listened to VSiN and I'm like, this kid is just like, they used to call me machine gun mouth in college. Steve, what was your name in college?
Me? I don't want to say.
It was probably bro.
That was probably it. I used to have that short skin the tight skin fade haircut too. I just started growing the hair out as an adult. So like you saw that picture of me, Courtney. That's what it used to look like. So I was just basically a Staten Island bro all through college. Okay. I went to college in Connecticut.
Well, yeah. So they called me Machine Gun Mouth when I was in college, and Josh is like Machine Gun Mouth. When he gets on these shows, he's like just verbal vomit of just like this constant stream of, if you had like a typewriter, it was going through one side of the head and going through the other. It's like, I was like, wow, he's really good. And then I looked up, he goes, from Boston. And then we apparently, connected, my childhood best friend, like preschool best friend. We had met, you guys were hooking up for a hot 5 seconds. He goes, oh, do you know Elizabeth Cohen? I was like, I vaguely remember this. She took me to like some random, I'm not saying it was a trap house, but it was like a weird house. We were doing some kids fresh out of college things. That's how we met. But that's how worlds collide. Steve, I wish I knew you in college. You would love me. I was a dude's girl. I was home girl for everyone.
It's all right, we're connected now, so it's plenty. We're good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to this slate. I have to tell you, I do subscribe to Point Spread Weekly, which is an incredible, comprehensive, 131-page diatribe every single week. The guys at your company, Josh, have put together just enormous amounts of numbers and stats, but not only that, just incredible intellect and some of the stuff that I just can't even read, and you contribute to that as well. So I asked you to kind of break down some of this rather complicated week 15 slate. I was going to, before this little powwow that we're having here, was going to calculate all of the numbers of all the players in COVID protocol, but I think that this is just the perfect example of the COVID being back on the scene. First thing that you have to think to yourself before the season, it was +600 odds for a game to be canceled. Will the NFL cancel their schedule? They made that very certain. They said, we are not making room to move games back a week. They're not going to stop anything. The NBA has only postponed one game so far, and that's for the Chicago Bulls that are dealing with an enormous outbreak up there. But, you know, just given that, what is your advice to bettors in a situation like this? I just think that this is one of those things that you just really have to, as much as you want to, lay your money down the line, get your best numbers, shop around. What is your advice to bettors, Josh, with all the COVID protocols, all these players going on the COVID list, reserve list, and just the moving pieces, not only players, but coaches, front office staff? Do you hold your money late? Are you not shopping around? How does the sports bettor get the best price in this particular situation?
Yeah, so I think you hit the nail on the head, Courtney. Like, this is the hardest week to bet on the NFL by far, mostly just because of the unpredictability. And, you know, when you're betting on sports, especially, having realistic expectations, like, we know that it's tough to win at sports betting long term. You got to overcome the juice, which, you know, we have to lay, we have to pay this commission or tax to the sports book to then take our bet. Then we got to overcome luck and randomness and bad breaks. And there's all these different things at play. Now you throw in COVID, and really the bettor is up against it because it's really unpredictable nature of what's going to happen. And you see one positive COVID, you don't know if it's just that one or it's going to extend to other players. So my advice would be super selective this week. You know, if you normally bet maybe 5 to 10 bets on an NFL Sunday, maybe only bet 5 games or 2 games. I would limit your bets. I would also look at some teaser opportunities, Courtney. Like, for example, one that really caught my eye, Seattle and the Los Angeles Rams. Like, the Rams open as around a 7-point favorite at home. They have a bunch of COVID issues. You do have COVID now in Seattle too with Tyler Lockett. But a lot of these lines open, Rams like laying 7 points, the line is down to like 4.5, 4. So in a teaser play, I kind of want to be with the sharp move, but I'm missing the best of the number. So with a lot of, you know, systems on, and I'm a system driven bettor, I like to look at historical things like divisional dogs, Russell Wilson, great as a dog, dog with a line move in their favor. All these matches I have on Seattle, but because of COVID, If they're now down to 4.5, I'll tease them up to 10.5 and go through a couple key numbers. So the other thing is, I would wait until the bitter end. Like, I'm not going to bet any game today on a Thursday, on a Friday, on a Saturday. Majority of my bets are going to be made Sunday morning when we literally know for sure who's in and who's out. I just think be careful and be selective this week.
Well, it was a catastrophic week for the sports books last week. I know, Steve, you were on vacation. You missed it. I think it was 10 for 2 with the favorites covering the spread. It was a great week for the public, and I know that a lot of these bettors are going to be looking to reinvest. Steve, as you're looking at this slate, at least for right now, are you buying into these teams continuing to cover the spread, or what do you think? Is there a specific game that you are queuing in on that you think that the underdog still has a chance this week?
So the game that I'm looking at that I actually do think the underdog has a chance, and it's not a big spread. So the Steelers are +2 right now against the Titans. And look, I don't think the Steelers are, they haven't been that good. And the Titans, honestly, lately, they haven't been very good either, but their offense has struggled. But the Titans defense is not very good. Their pass defense hasn't been good all year. If Big Ben can just be above average, and he was pretty good in the second, I know I was away, but I was paying attention. And the second half of that game last week, mainly the fourth quarter, if he could just be that, if he could play like that guy, I think the Steelers can actually cover this spread and win this game. I hate saying that because every time I've looked to bet on them this year, they've kind of screwed me. But that's the one thing I'm looking at. The other games, I just really don't know with everything going on with COVID. And that's the one that stands out to me. I know it's not a huge spread, but that's what I'm looking at really.
Josh, what do you take on the Pittsburgh Steelers and all of their desperation? You're looking at Tennessee as one of the surefire. I feel like they're one of the teams that, even as I was looking at this game tonight with the Chiefs and the Chargers, I'm just like, at this point in the season, am I wavering between like betting against someone who I still think is decent, or it's like, are you the good teams are solidified? Is the Tennessee Titans, are they going to put the Pittsburgh Steelers out of their misery? The Steelers are 5-8 against the spread. They're one of my teams that I've lost twice on them this season. I just throw up my hands and I say, I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass on anything Pittsburgh or any idea, but that is a hot play this week in week 15.
Yeah, so I actually agree with Steve on this one. I think it's a good play with the Steelers. You know, what opened up to me or kind of jumped out to me, I look a lot at like betting splits and then line moves. So I like to look at like percentage of bets. That's always going to tell you where the public is. And then kind of line up with where's the money and how is the line moving. So this is kind of a blueprint play for me. Like as a contrarian bettor who likes to bet against the public and be on the sharp side, you're getting kind of the best of both worlds here. A lot of these books, just as Steve mentioned, I mean, you had openers of Tennessee laying 2.5 on the road. And actually, guys, this line is now down to a pick 'em. You know, it's a pick 'em. Some shops are down to 1. Anytime you see a big move there, despite the public being on Team A, the line goes to Team B. That's what we're seeing here with this line move toward Pittsburgh. So if you can still find a point out there, there's a lot of good matches, especially Mike Tomlin as a dog. Mike Tomlin's been one of your best dog covers. He's 43-22 ATS, 66% in this dog spot. The other one is rest advantage. That's another thing I look at when you're betting NFL. But you had an early Thursday game there for the Steelers. On the flip side, Tennessee played Sunday. So you have about 3-day rest advantage. You have a line move. You have Tomlin good as a dog. And you hit the nail on the head, guys, like with desperation spots or your season up against it. And you've also lost a couple games in a row. That's when I like to buy low on these teams. So I'm with Steve. I would go money line here. If you can find a 1 and maybe like the really good spot was early 2.5, tease them up to 8.5. That's obviously gone now, but I'll still go Steelers money line here.
Well, a couple of team trends from your guys over at VSiN. Pittsburgh is 28-2 against the spread after a blowout, straight up win of 20 points or more. Tennessee is 0-7 against the spread on the road. And so those trends also speak to what you guys are both agreeing on. The Patriots and the Colts, this is my favorite one of the week. How can you fade a team that has won 6 straight and is steamrolling at least their way to winning the AFC? Do you know what the current numbers are? I believe I saw something that they were 22-1 to win the AFC. That's got to be changed. I think that's just what they opened as.
If I can find that number for you right now real quick if you want it.
Yeah, no, sure. I know that Steve earlier in our, maybe a couple of podcasts ago, Steve said, best bet, plus 300 for the Patriots to win the AFC, to grab it as we did. And, with that convincing win over the Buffalo Bills, who I believe are just not going to make the postseason. It's only fate that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady end their season. I'm not convinced on anything that locker room is doing, that Josh Allen is hobbling into the postseason. But the Patriots, yes. What is the current number, Josh, of the for the Pats to win the AFC?
Yeah, so right now they're plus 700 to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's tied with the Packers for the third best odds. So, wow. Courtney, last time I saw you, 2010, Patriots are rolling. They're rolling again. We're just going to forget about that Cam Newton year, obviously. But, it just goes to show you that they're right up there. The only better odds would be Chiefs plus 550 and the Bucks plus 425. So that's definitely a situation where maybe if you got the Pats earlier, no one really expected this big run. They're about to cash their win total, too. It was 9.5 all summer long. They need one more win to get 10. That's fait accompli pretty much at this point. But yeah, they're back at the Tom Brady, top five odds there to win the Super Bowl right now.
No, you see that smile on my face. It just makes me oh so happy. Both teams are coming off of a bye, so extra rest for these teams. Seems as though they have come out of any of the COVID troubles relatively unscathed. But what is the potential for this run defense to try to stop Jonathan Taylor? Josh, what do you anticipate that Bill Belichick is going to drum up? It's just in terms of that, do you see that being a problem? The Patriots defense allowing just over 7 points a game over their last five.
Yeah, so I think if we know anything about Belichick, his number one thing is trying to take away whatever you do best, your number one weapon, and that would be Jonathan Taylor. So maybe all these big guys that he got in free agency, clog the line, try to stay in your lane and really make Carson Wentz beat you in the air. I think that might be the game plan here. What's really interesting to me, guys, is this is a sharp play to the Colts. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, a lot of these books open at a pick'em. Some shops were Patriots -2. Even though everyone's betting the Patriots, they're back to being a big public play, playing well. Belichick's got his magic again. This line shifted all the way to Colts -2.5. So that's a really sharp move, a pick'em or even getting points, and now Colts being favored. So I don't want to go directly against a sharp play. Like, 9 times out of 10, I'd money line this play with the Colts. But leaning on teasers late in the year, I think the Patriots are in a great teaser spot. +2.5, you can now take them up to +8.5. And this is really kind of the buy low off a big line move, where if you're laying the 2.5 now or you're betting the Colts money line, you're late to the party. You're getting the worst of the number. But if you're kind of buying low on New England and teasing them up to 8.5, I think that would be my play to handle this game. Take the 8.5 teaser with the Pats.
Steve, are you betting along with our beloved? You're sandwiched between two Boston people. Went for the Josh, the references at the beginning of the season, we kept calling the Arizona Cardinals our beloved Cardinals because they kept winning. They were just killing it. Are you betting with our beloved Steve Armato?
All right. So unfortunately, Josh pretty much took the words out of my mouth. I'm taking the Colts on this one. I know you hate that.
He's a big Jonathan Taylor guy.
I'm a big Jonathan Taylor guy. My most profitable bet this year has been Jonathan Taylor first TD scorer. The only time that gets me just annoyed is when he has like a 30-yard run down to the four and they put Hines in. It just gets me so mad. But anyway, I saw the line movement before. The Patriots were like favored by like 2 or 2.5, and this swung all the way back. And to me, I just feel like so many people are high on the Patriots, which they should be. I mean, the Patriots are a really good football team, but I feel like a lot of those casual bettors are going to just hammer the Pats at the +2.5 number. And I like the Colts this week. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen. My brain, after reading everything, is telling me the Colts would be the play.
Okay. Moving along with the Ravens and the Packers. Packers are the best team in the NFC right now. The Ravens dealing with Lamar Jackson, I don't believe, practiced today. I thought that there was an anticipation of that injured sprained ankle that he was going to be back at the practice field. And the anticipation was that he was going to have somewhat of a news that he was limited today, which is Thursday, which did not happen. How does that affect your bets, Josh? Going into this game, the Ravens, huge playoff implications here. Again, the AFC is pretty jumbled. So can they take down a juggernaut in Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur's team up there in Green Bay?
So I'm not sure if they can win outright, but I kind of like buying low on the Ravens plus the points. I mean, this one is another game where you've had a ton of line movement. It's been crazy. Like some look at lines where, you know, as low as like Green Bay -3 on the road, -4. You had other lines at one point that got up to like -7 Packers. So it was all about, you know, Rodgers with his toe. He's probably good to go, but he's been complaining about it. Obviously, the big news here is waiting on Lamar Jackson, where Harbaugh has said, you know, he kind of is hopeful, but he's not sure. So this is another like non-COVID situation where you still need injury alerts and reports and figuring out whether or not they're going to play. But we've kind of settled at 5.5 here. And this, guys, is one of the most lopsided games of the weekend. I'm looking at some splits across the market that are like 90% of bets just playing Green Bay here. They're kind of laying a short number. It's under a touchdown. They've been great. One of the best, I think maybe the best ATS team, if not the best, maybe top two or three. But they're 11-2 ATS. They've covered a ton of numbers. They're playing great right now. And people are really down on Baltimore. You know, you've lost two straight to Cleveland, to Pittsburgh, some divisional opponents. But if Lamar plays, I kind of like this play with the +5.5. One crazy stat, if you look at Harbaugh in a dog situation, this is kind of like that Mike Tomlin one. He's about 68% covering numbers as a dog. So I'll take the 5.5 here. It's the most contrarian play of the week, and I think there's value buying low on the Ravens.
Steve, what are your thoughts? Yes? No? Right. You liking it?
So I'm going to go against Josh here. So I feel
I like this. Right, look, look at this. Look at this.
This is culture pot
that I put together. Okay.
This is why. Look, I think this is a disaster matchup for the Ravens because A, their secondary's banged up and Rodgers and Davante Adams are going to rip them to shreds. I don't think their defense has been very good anyway. And let's talk about Lamar a little bit. He hasn't, injury or not, he hasn't been good.
He hasn't been, he fell off.
And the Packers defense has been a lot better. I think the Packers, I would take the Packers at 5.5. I think the Packers are going to smoke them. And it's the NFL, so anything could happen. But like all signs, obviously all signs are pointing, to me, all signs are pointing to the Packers, which means the Ravens will probably win the game. But this is what I think for this one.
The last game that you have on your slate, Josh, is the Bengals and the Broncos. The Bengals did outgain the 49ers last week, but they lost in overtime. The loser in this one in a jumbled AFC. Have we figured out who the Bengals are at this point in the season? Are we banking on that defense stepping back up again, or is this just going to be the Teddy Bridgewater show for Denver?
So big game for both teams. They're both 7-6, kind of on the edge here, quote unquote, in the hunt for a playoff spot. So really, you know, everyone's motivated for this one here. But I actually like the Denver Broncos. This is kind of a system I kind of look at and call a fade the trendy dog system. Like I like betting dogs when they're really disgusting, when they're getting 25-30% of bets, when they really pretty much no one gives them a shot. Because if you're dismissed, that's when you have a lot of value. And we know that we don't bet teams, you know, we bet numbers as the old mantra is. But I also think, you know, you look at situations with line moves in the past and kind of see the same situation. This looks very similar to the Cleveland Browns game last week against the Ravens. You had a short favorite. The Browns were like -1.5 up to -3. And if you laid the points late, you ended up losing because they won by 2 points, but they closed -3. So a money line play would have got you home there with the Browns. And that's the same thing in this game, guys. The public is all over Cincinnati. Young team, but you know, Burrow and Chase, a team that's kind of sexy and you want to root for and you think is about to turn it around after a two-game losing skid. And really kind of Denver style, they're not flashy, really they don't get a lot of public love. You have like 65% of bets on the road with the Bengals, yet the line is going to the Broncos here. Broncos open -1.5, they're up to -2.5 or -3. I would go money line here. I think this is a don't love laying the 3 or 2.5, but the line's going to the Broncos at home. Altitude advantage. I'll lay like the -140 on the money line. I'll take Denver there.
Okay. Steve, any thoughts?
Yeah. So I agree with Josh here because, all right. So remember when I went to the Giants Eagles tailgate like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So I won't forget this because I was talking to somebody in the parking lot. We were talking about placing bets and the Chargers were 2.5 point underdogs in Denver against the Broncos, and everybody was all over the Chargers. they were like, oh, this is Chargers are going to win this game. I was like, this is a Broncos line, and the Broncos won that game. This reminds me so much of that, like Broncos at home against a team that people perceive as a lot better than them, which they have the same record, so they're not a lot better than them. The Broncos might win ugly, but they find ways to win, especially at home. I like Denver in this spot. They're going to bore you to death and put you to sleep, but I think they're going to win this game.
College football, we are approaching bowl season here. Do you have any plans, either of you, to attend a bowl game? Perhaps the Gasparilla Bowl on the 23rd in Tampa Bay with the UCF, I believe, in Florida?
Something, one of those. Oh, my God. I'm not going to a bowl. I tried to go to the Pinstripe Bowl one year, and it was like 12 degrees out and snowing, and I was like, this isn't worth it. It's Rutgers and Pitt. Like, I can't do this.
Are you, Josh, are you invested? I mean, you grew up in Boston, and to me, college football is just is a world away from my brain. It's like I separate the college game. It just wasn't really so much. I know that I'm just starting to get more into, I guess, the bigger teams and the teams that matter. But you know, I believe we have 12 games on the slate this weekend, 12 or 16. Not the ones that you want to talk about. There's only two that you want to hone in on. Your face looks a little like, oh my God. Yeah, I'm going to ask you about the UTEP game, what your thoughts are on handicapping UTEP. Iowa State and Clemson. I know that our guys over at Better Edge will love this. How are you handicapping this one?
Yeah, so I think first off, and people who aren't from Boston, and we're just going to name drop like Dunkin' Donuts and like Kelly's Roast Beef and like, you know, all the important things here, of course.
Yes!
College football is not a thing here. Like, it's just, it's not big. I never really got into it. I like to bet on it, but truth be told, I've never been to a college football game. Never been to a BC game. Not really a big thing. So I don't have the experience of being there like tailgate or anything. NFL, of course, but really what I look for, guys, when it comes to bowl games, right now is a great time of year to bet against the public. The public comes in for these bowl games bigger than any other game. We get the schedules for these games like weeks and weeks in advance. You only get like one or two, like you have a bunch, you know, in a day, but really it's like one or two, and they get really heavily bet, an influx of public betting, and the public will maybe not bet all year long, but they'll come in and play whoever has the better record or the higher ranking or bet their alma mater. It's kind of like March Madness in this way. So as a result, like playing a lot of dogs tick up like 2% in terms of covering numbers from regular season to bowl game. So just from everyone, 90%, if you see a bowl game and it's like 90% of bets on team A, that 10% on team B really has a ton of value. We've seen that historically. But this one, just wanted to mention Iowa State and Clemson, really interesting line move. Clemson is a very public team. They really struggled early, but they ended the year, I think, with like 5 or 6 straight wins. But here's the thing. They just lost both their coordinators. They're going to go leave and go coach different teams. So it's Dabo, and then all of his coaches are gone in terms of play callers. So this is another thing with bowl games. Like, look at star quarterbacks who opt out because they don't want to get hurt for the NFL draft. Yep. Look for coaches getting fired. These little angles, you can find an edge. And what I like about this one, guys, is Clemson, despite losing these coaches, they're still getting like 75% of bets. Everyone wants to sweat Clemson, but the line moved to Iowa State. A lot of these books open like Clemson laying a point or two. It's now flipped to Iowa State -1.5. So again, I'll go money line here, Iowa State. I like to follow that sharp action in these bowl game situations, but focus on coaches leaving, players opting out. That's another angle to look at when you're betting these games.
That is such an interesting point. And you have to start thinking about if you are on the lower tier of one of these bowls. I mean, you're going to the Liberty Bowl or you're going to the I'm not saying the Sugar Bowl because that's a big one, the Gasparilla Bowl, and you decide that you are a prospect and this is a business decision that you decide that it would be best for you to step away from the game and get prepared for the NFL draft. You know, that's important. If you are a top prospect and you're playing in the Orange Bowl and you step away, that's going to hurt your draft stock. So it's interesting. It's an interesting approach and something to remember as you're going into some of these bowl weekends. Do you start looking at NFL draft prospects now? Do you have your board, Steve? Are you a draft guy?
I'm not a huge draft guy. I tell everybody the same thing. Every year I go, ask me around week 4 what I think of my team's draft pick, because that's when I'll have some type of gauge on it. Because realistically, I feel like the draft is everybody watching they're all watching players that are head and shoulders above every other player on the field for the most part. Yeah. Like, that's the film that you're watching, and the combine doesn't mean anything, and you don't know what these guys are going to be like when they step on an NFL field. So no, I'm not a draft guy.
Will Brinson from CBS, I remember he came on Felger and Maz or one of their shows, and Brinson was saying that he had one of the greatest weekends after the NFL draft that he has ever. I think he hit on like 66 picks, and that was just like over unders on players going to teams, or, you know, first cornerback off the board, first, you know, how many quarterbacks in the first round. I mean, that's something to start thinking about. This is really when, like, the sports betting geeks should be preparing Josh for the NFL draft, because that is the easiest bag of money that we're going to get this year or next year, 2022. We're not out of the woods yet.
I'm right there with you, and I love betting on the draft. I'm one of those nerds that, like, will look at the odds movement and kind of you can do some different angles. Like, maybe you don't know where this guy will go, but you like a head-to-head matchup against a different bettor. Like, one thing I would look at right now, guys, and maybe we can rewind the film if this is right. If this is wrong, you're just going to burn the tape like Spygate, okay? But Aiden
Hutchinson. Bury it in the ground, man. Bury it in the ground.
Bury it in the ground so no one knows what happened. But Aiden Hutchinson, right now he's minus 150 to be the number one overall draft pick. Kayvon Thibodeau, second best odds at plus 200. A lot of times you see with these number one picks, like it happened with Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence was like minus 150, minus 200 around this time of year. And then he ballooned to like minus 5,000, minus 10,000, like fait accompli. I think you place a bet on Aiden Hutchinson right now at minus 150. There's a connection with Detroit if they get the number one pick. Obviously, he played at Michigan. You're going to want to revamp that defensive line. I think that minus 150 is low on Hutchinson. I think he goes number one, and that minus 150 could be minus 1,000 a month from now.
Good to know. Good tip. Steve loves a good look at that. Those the gears.
I might just go lay $2,000 on that right now. Let's see.
Oh my God. Oh well, any bowl games that you're betting on, Steve, this weekend? What are your thoughts?
I'm just looking at things. Also, I think, like, because COVID is like wreaking havoc on all of sports, don't be surprised to see some of these bowl games probably canceled at some point. I don't know. But
what are the odds on that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
The only one I'm looking at right now, I'm probably going to bet on the playoff, but that's like in a couple weeks. Tomorrow, noon football on a Friday. Like, who doesn't love that? Bahamas Bowl, like really bad football, Toledo and Middle Tennessee State. I haven't done a ton of research here, but I'm going to take Josh's advice. I'm going to see where the money is being laid, and I'm just going opposite here. I mean, I think Middle Tennessee's favored by like 10. No, Toledo's favored by 10. So maybe we'll go Middle Tennessee. I don't know what the motivation level's like in these bowl games either. They all flew to the Bahamas. You don't know. So it's like, but tomorrow, 12 o'clock noon, if there's a daily, like if there's an afternoon game that you could bet on a weekday, like I'm taking it. It's just done deal.
You're just getting yourself ready for March. How about the Boca Raton Bowl? App State is laying 3 points against Western Kentucky. Listen, I just got, my heart goes out to Bowling Green, Kentucky. They were hit very hard with the tragic tornadoes that swept through and devastated much of the Midwest last week. And I'm almost looking at this. You want to talk about a dog? Just an emotional game here. Does Western Kentucky upset App State? You know, Bailey's, I'm not even going to pretend to be an expert on this. I mean, like, how do you, like, do you walk in, you just strictly look, Josh, when you're looking at some of these lines, the Cure Bowl, Coastal Carolina against Northern Illinois. We got Oregon State and Utah State, Louisiana at Marshall, Coastal Carolina against Northern Illinois. You really are just like, you're not even looking up. How much research do you go into some of these games? You just look at line movement. You're just diving in as a mathematician, as a savant.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to do some research. Like, you have to know, like, you don't want to be the idiot, like, oh, I'm betting this dog because, like, they have a good line move, and figure out, like, yeah, but the opposing quarterback is out. Like, there's some basic, like, level of information. Like, did any coaches leave? Are there any opt-outs? That's what I think you got to do a little, just Twitter research, Google research. In 10 minutes, you can get a feel for any opt-outs and stuff like that. But I would say, you know, for Saturday, one game that caught my eye was Liberty. We mentioned them in passing, but they're playing Eastern Michigan, and both these teams, kind of similar records here. Public's actually leaning Eastern Michigan as a dog play. Mm-hmm. But here's another angle to look at this time of year. Liberty with Hugh Freeze. They've lost three straight. People are kind of down on them. But they open as like an 8-point favorite, and the line is now up to 9. So why is the line going further to Liberty if Eastern Michigan is kind of a semi-popular play? One factor would be their really good quarterback, Malik Wills. He could be actually playing in this game. So instead of opting out, he's going to play. And what kind of like signals that send to your team? I think it's awesome. Like this guy who could have millions of dollars and miss and be do kind of the selfish but smart thing by not getting injured. He's not doing that. He's going to play with his team. And I think that gets everyone motivated. I think you get Liberty playing great on that in that spot. And the Lions going in their favor despite the public on Eastern Michigan. That's actually kind of a rare favorite that I like on Saturday. I'd lay the points with Liberty.
Okay. You heard it here first. I think, Steve, do you have anything, any other final thoughts? Josh Applebaum. it's enough to spit out. Josh Applebaum of VSIN, where can the good people find you? Or Steve, give your last final thoughts.
I don't even know what my final thoughts are. Is anyone betting on the famous Idaho Potato Bowl? We got Wyoming and Kent State. I don't know. You got to be a maniac to bet on that. Also, the bowl game names have gotten more ridiculous throughout the years. I don't know if we could all agree. The Cure Bowl, the Lending Tree Bowl that Josh was just talking about. What's the trophy for that? Is it a mortgage? Like what happens there? That's all I got.
What are your thoughts? So this is great. What are your thoughts on throwing footballs in a big tin for $100,000 in college scholarship? Should you be able to? You have to be able to pass the ball.
Yeah, like, the grandma passing it in.
The grandma pass, you can't do it. I don't care if you're trying to, you're going to ease down a demographic there. You know, I know they want to be like all inclusive on certain things, but go find me, go find a chick that's athletic that can throw a football, because I don't want to see any of those wacky halftime. Oh, here, I'm going to give you $25,000 up to $250,000 for your, for your college scholarship or a mortgage down payment on your house. Yeah, Dan.
I'm with you on that. Like, you basically, I'm done with this, with the granny style shovel pass. That's not what the game is meant for. All right, like, let's get some athletes out there. That gets
Josh,
me so
you're an
mad.
Athlete.
Sorry.
What did you play in high school?
I played baseball. I played hockey. Rode the bench in hockey. Was decent in baseball, but yeah, I agree. No chest passes. Like the Jimmy Chitwood like underhand free throw. You know, from Hoosiers. None of that is either. And maybe we can just like forgive student debt or like a little bit of it and just make everyone.
Right.
Like, how about that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, or like, why don't you get like one athletic person and then put a group of five unathletic people and then have them represent it, so they like share the pot. I'd like to see more kids winning scholarships, not like in less money, you know, like let's not blow out one person's debt. What if they rack up a bunch of credit card debt after school? Kind of like me. Anyways. All right, boys. This was a lot of fun. Josh, what can we catch you on?
Yeah, so just tune into VSIN. Yeah, you can go follow at VSIN Live on Twitter. You can find me at Josh_insights on Twitter. And any of the stuff we talked about, we have a free newsletter. It's like the simplest, easiest thing you can do. You'll get sports betting info every single day in the morning. It's a really comprehensive newsletter talking line moves and articles. So that's VSIN.com/newsletter. And another plug, I wrote a book, believe it or not, The Everything Guy.
I was just going to ask you.
So, if you want to pick one up, I don't know if Bezos can like drone it to your house by Christmas, but if you can, hey, grab it. It's The Everything Guy to Sports Betting, all the tips and strategies and how to be a really annoying contrarian better. That's a lot of tips there too.
Oh, yes. We're betting dogs this week, man. We're getting back on the horse. Fuck the sports books. We're betting dogs. Oh my God, boys, thank you so much. This was fun. Before the morning comes, I see a red door
and I want it painted black. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.